I am a little bit nervous or a little bit anxious about what we're going to talk about this evening, because there are many of you that don't know me and don't know about the work, and I want to make sure that I explain it clearly enough and well enough so that you understand the unique situation that we have there. It's unlike anything that I have ever known of or been acquainted with. I have known of churches and areas that are kind of, you know, resort or vacation-y type of areas. But this situation is very unique for many reasons. As a matter of fact, Brother Van Cooper that worships with the Black Creek congregation down in Bessemer, they were up a week or so ago, and he came in and he said, I think y'all are probably the most visited sound church in the world. And I hadn't really thought about that, but he may be right. I need to do a little research statistically and see if that may be the case. And he said the reason why he thought that is because where we're uniquely located, maybe like in contrast to churches in Florida where there are a lot of other churches to choose from if you're vacationing in the area, or even like in Branson, Missouri, which is a touristy area, and the congregation there being pretty unique on its own, but still yet, as far as Christians or other churches to draw from in that relative area, it's nothing like over here. I mean, there's probably more sound churches and brethren just in northern Alabama and the entire state of Missouri, for sure. So it's very likely that is the case. You know, if it is, I guess we ought to make that kind of part of our terminology or something, the most visited congregation in the world. And it may very well be. At least from the standpoint of our perspective, it has definitely that kind of a feel. Constantly, it is that there is a great focus on visiting brethren that come to the area and the needs of visiting brethren coming to the area because of the uniqueness of our circumstances. And that's kind of where we started from to begin with. I'm sure most everybody here is aware that Olin Brentnell was the one who really was the force behind getting things started there. I've known the Brentnell family all of my life, literally. And so as they would come to visit in the Smokies, I was preaching at Chapman Highway, which at that time would have been the closest sound congregation to that area. And so they would visit with us, as many of you had done in years past before the congregation was there in Pigeon Forge. So he especially would always be saying, you know, let's keep our eyes open about getting a work started up in that area, and maybe you can, you know, kind of help out from that end of things. And then those of us who were at Chapman Highway, we knew that many people were having to drive a significant way to come to worship, so for years, I was there, I guess, 13 years, you know, this was a constant thing that we would have visitors who would have to drive a significant way to come to worship, sometimes an hour and a half or more, because of the traffic situation. And so we knew there was a need, not a sound congregation historically in the entire county. And so then almost 5 years ago, it was just right at 5 years ago, it was about May, I think, of 2005, Olin asked me, he said that a building had been located that was available. It was the former Gumstand Baptist Church. They were building a new building out by Dollywood. And he asked if I'd kind of coordinate things from that end. And he was going to try to attempt to get some brethren together to get the down payment to purchase the building and start getting things together. And so I prayed about it, talked to Becky a lot about it, spoke with the elders at Chapman Highway congregation about it, and decided that it was a good time for me to do more than just kind of coordinate things, but actually make the move out there and serve as a preacher to really make sure things would get started out. And at that time, we really didn't intend to be there, you know, a long period of time, just kind of still in that mind frame of getting things going. We were able, through generous donations of brethren from around different areas and here, to get together enough for the down payment on the building. We got private financing for the remainder from a sister over in North Carolina. And so September 4th of 2005 was when we had our first service. And I think Olin and I were both somewhat surprised at how many people were there. I think we had 80-something in attendance that very first Sunday. And the point was, we only had 15 of us who were locals, and most of that was my family. So we right off the bat knew that you know, we had a unique situation. And from there, it wasn't long before we were up to about 19 members. One fellow in particular, and those of you who have visited there know Paul Powell, because he's our regular announcement fella. But you may know, some of you may know the story of Paul Powell, but it's a good enough story that even if you've heard it before, I'll tell it to you again. It was the winter, I guess it was the first winter we were there, and we had a pretty decent snow and some ice, which in that location, you would think there would be a lot more than there really is, but we're kind of at the bottom of the mountain, so we don't get as much as they do up on the mountain. But it was enough that it kept most people from coming, and I was there. Some of the kids were sick, so Becky and the kids weren't there. And I was thinking, well, I guess I'm the only one here. And I was getting ready to turn around and leave, and in walked in Paul Powell. And Paul is about 72, 73, something like that. And so he started explaining to me about how that he had come to find us, that he had been studying, doing research on the internet. Savvy internet person for that age, I guess, you know, comparatively, not to put anybody down that's that age and is savvy about computers, but generally I know how my parents are. But he had done research, and he had studied, in particular, he had studied issues that had divided brethren back in the 50s and 60s, and he was a member at that time of the institutional liberal church over in Newport. And so he started coming up with these things and about the way that they were doing things, their practices, their utilization of the treasury, their emphasis in what their focus was as far as their worship service and their activities. And he found several things that were in conflict with what he was studying. And so he basically developed this very thorough listing of things and went to meet with the elders and kind of went through them point by point. And they basically said, thank you for bringing this to our attention. There's the door. And so from there, he went back to the locations where he on the internet had studied these things through. And he linked in to our web information on there, our location, and that's how he found us. It was, kind of one of those things where he came in and he said, I think they consider me an auntie now. And I said, well, you came to the right place. So that was about it from that standpoint. It was kind of interesting. But so Paul's been with us, since very early on, a very strong individual, very helpful about things. Not too long after that, well, I guess about a year after that, the congregation where I had preached at Chapman Highway split. I won't get into all the details of that if you weren't aware of that, but basically they had a split, a very ugly split. I guess I don't know if there's any that might be not ugly. It wasn't a kind of spreading out or anything. I mean, it was we can't worship together kind of split. Since I had preached there for so long, I knew all of the people there very well, and I can say that we got the best of the group, the ones that were, sound, the ones that were the most spiritual. They came and they started worshiping with us at that time, and I didn't know, how long it might be before they might be able to patch things up. But the wounds were very, very deep, and they're still with us to this day. Since that time, we've added some more that have come into the area, or that have started worshiping with us from other congregations not too far away. So we're up to about 56 members now. So we've built up, and almost it'll be 5 years then this fall that we've been there, but. Built up from 15 to 56, We had not, until just recently, been able to have a significant recognition, I guess you might say, in the community. We fought very hard with the Parks Department because of our location. For those who haven't been there, we're actually located in between Pigeon Forge and Gatlinburg. And I say Pigeon Forge because kind of accommodatively, because we're really kind of in no man's land. We're actually off of what they call the spur, which is you actually enter into the park and then you kind of go off on the side road to get to us. Technically, our address is really Sevierville, although Sevierville would probably be the town that we're furthest away from, but because we're not in Pigeon Forge or Gatlinburg proper, they consider us Sevierville. So we have that as our address, but we try not to advertise that in any way because it's just confusing because it's so far away. But there is a little sign that is out on the spur, and those of you who have been there know there's a small sign as you're driving along, and it says King Branch Road Church of Christ Animal Shelter, and it has an arrow. And so it's not that we have an animal shelter, it's that there also is an animal shelter up that road. And so I guess whatever in fairness of the, quote, businesses up our road, then the Parks Department has so graciously put King Branch Road Church of Christ Animal Shelter. So that's about it, though, as far as being able to have, you know, acknowledgement in the community until recently, because going back to our situation with the building, after we had that private financing, not even a year, it was just a few months into that, she contacted Olin and I and said, my sons, who are not members of the Lord's Church, are giving me a lot of grief about this loan. And basically, she called our note. And so we had to scramble and figure out about getting other financing. We got financing at a local bank after a lot of grief to get that set up. But what that did for us is, prior to that, we had really good terms. It was interest only. Basically, bottom line, without getting into a lot of numbers, we doubled the cost of our mortgage just like that. And so from that time, it was really a scramble, especially to be able just to make the payments on the building, you know, keep the doors open and all that. And so all of our focus had to be on that. I was doing a lot of secular work to make up the difference on the building payment and that. So we did that. We also had to, through that process, get a second mortgage that started growing. And then a little over a year ago, we made an appeal just in general to kind of help us knock out as much of that as we could. And we got enough together to knock out the second mortgage. And then we had some people that suggested to us that what we really needed to do was have a bond issue. And so we got together a bond issue. We got some assistance from a fella who was an elder down in Florida to help us put it all together. He's, because of his experience, he had helped two or three churches before with them, and said that we didn't need to have the expenditure of paying someone commissions to put it together for us. He helped us get it all set up. And currently, we've collected about a quarter of what we need through the entire bond issue, but it's already gotten us to the point of alleviating that pressure enough that we've been able to really start making more of a positive influence in the community, more of kind of, you know, we're here besides just having that little sign out there. And one of the things that we were able to do, and I don't know how well you'll be able to see this, this is our local paper, and we're still, I know that, you know, there's a lot about, you know, print is dead and all that kind of thing, and people don't really, you know, pay attention to papers as much as they did. But in our little community, it's still, the Mountain Press is the paper, and you know, people aren't so sophisticated as to leave off the paper yet. So in the newspaper, if you can kind of tell from this, I've got it kind of folded over, but actually this shaded area on this side right here, more than a quarter of the page, this is our weekly article slash, you know, kind of advertisement. And there's always an article that I provide in there with information about our location and our website and all that. So that's just one way that we're letting people in the community basically know that we're there. We've already got some responses out of it. We have a Bible study going on now with a couple. Already just in this has just been a few weeks we've been able to have this going since we started with the bond issue. But already we're starting to have some response about it. But primarily just letting people know that we are there. Our next kind of dilemma about it, and we've already kind of worked this into the concept with the bond issue, and if you know anybody that might be interested in taking advantage of the bond issue, I've got several prospectus that we've made up, and I think I had sent some down here before, but we made up a little prospectus where we analyzed everything and went through with the details of it. Forgot my point. Anyway, let's see. We got the bond issue. I know what it was. Part of what our plans are about this is already, if you've been there when it's kind of the busy season, which can be and is a lot of the year. I mean, there's a little bit of time now, maybe January, February, where it's kind of the off season. But even in what would be considered kind of the off season, we still have visitors at virtually every service. There's only been one or two services the whole time that we've been there that we did not have a single visitor. So, I mean, we always have visitors for one reason or another. You know, people will say, well, I'm going up there in the off season because nobody's going to be there. And you know, that's kind of a smart thing to do too. But when we have services and it's kind of the on season, especially during, changing the leaves in the fall and that sort of thing, we've had to put chairs all up and down the aisles in the foyer, and people were standing up. So we really are in a position where we're maxing out the building as it is. So we have the capability of expanding the building a little bit, and then we're going to have another dilemma, though, associated with the parking. Because we can't really expand on our parking. We have a place that we can expand into an alleyway, and if you've been there, if you know, it's right on the side of the hill. So we're kind of at a quandary as far as expansion capability is concerned, but our location is just so good that it's very, very, very convenient where it's located. It's like I pick up on different things, and even just this morning at Cahaba Heights, one of the elders there suggested, well, why don't you have two worship services, you know, an early and a later worship service. Now, the trick about all of this is, and this is another thing to take in consideration, we have water contamination problems. So where we're at, we've got a great location, but we weren't made aware of the fact that we have limitations in the amount of times that we can meet because our water's contaminated, and the environmental department does not want us as a public facility to be too much of a risk to society or whatever, and so they limit the amount that we can actually meet. And so that's been kind of our psychology on the thing, is that we're kind of stuck as far as the times we can meet. We can meet once on Sunday, once on Wednesday night, and that fills up the amount of time that we can meet during the year. Even if we were going to have a gospel meeting, we would have to in some way trade out some Wednesday nights for that or something like that. Well, he suggested just, it's not a matter of hours, it's a matter of open the doors, have a services, shut the doors, and there's one meeting. And so he said, well, why don't you meet early on Sunday morning, have Bible study, meet again on Sunday morning, have a, you know, 3-hour service or whatever. I hadn't even thought about that. But that would help to alleviate with what will be our real problem, and that is the parking situation. Because then, you know, those who are visiting, who want to come to services early can come and then take their cars and leave room for others to come and park later. So we have the capability. I mean, we have the resources to stay there and to be a good influence for a long time to come. As I had said in the beginning, there had not been a sound church there in the entire history of the county, the entire county. And so it's kind of a matter of there's really never been the capability of people in that community having an alternative in their understanding about the truth and about the way that Christians worship and how that a sound church actually functions. And so we're able to have that type of an influence there. And as we've been there now, basically built up credibility in the community, getting teaching out through this medium with the newspaper, making people more aware of us there locally, I fully expect that we'll get more local members also. And that's where we're really going to run into that constraint about how to deal with our facilities and our circumstances there. But I have great hopes for the future, especially as the response that we've already gotten with the bond issue, even last year with the way that Brethren came on and really responded with great effort to help us out, financially, as far as the church is concerned there. And as far as me preaching there, I greatly appreciate the congregation here and supplying me with so much support. It's a unique situation there. There is very little that the local church is able to even assist me with. Basically, they help me with a little bit of insurance. And so I rely on Brethren from other areas, such as yourselves and churches, to provide my support. And because of that, it's a situation where there's practically not a month or a quarter or whatever that goes by that something changes with a congregation that's supporting me. And they've got financial difficulties or whatever it might be, or they, for one reason or another, decide not to support me. And then I've got to scramble around and get it from somewhere else. But you all have been solid and helpful for all along, and it is a source of great comfort for myself and my family, and we really appreciate you all.